And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Alaska is short on healthcare workers, especially nurses and nursing assistants. Experts say increasing our reliance on out-of-state workers is economically untenable. But as Claire Strempel reports for KTOO, one big roadblock to training a homegrown workforce is hiring enough nursing faculty at the state's university.
Nursing home administrator Kirk Elmore says his staffing woes really started at the beginning of the pandemic.
For the most part, we had some people that left to be travelers. We had some people that was just didn't want to work in healthcare during a pandemic.
By the spring of 2021, Elmore was struggling to fill gaps in the schedule at Juneau's Wildflower Court nursing home.
We realized really quickly that within about 6 weeks' time that we wouldn't be able to operate at full capacity, and that's when we had to close one of our wings.
He says it's an economic hardship for the small nonprofit to operate without all of its beds full. The closure resulted in a backup at the regional hospital as well. In February, it was holding 11 patients who couldn't find room in a nursing home that didn't require hospital-level care any longer. Elmore hired traveling nurses to partially reopen the closed wing, but Wildflower Court is still not at full capacity. He said he'd like to hire about a dozen nurses or certified nursing assistants, but no one is applying for the job openings.
And so our concern is this is just going to get worse.
Jared Kosin directs Alaska's Hospital and Nursing Home Association. He says the only way to sustainably address it is to
really train Alaskans and give them opportunities to enter the healthcare workforce and fill those jobs.
He says not enough healthcare workers are entering the workforce, and the pandemic just exacerbated a nationwide shortage that was already acute in Alaska. The state is already heavily reliant on out-of-state labor, called travelers. They're more expensive to hire and less likely to stay here. As a result, Alaska has some of the most expensive healthcare in the nation. Last month, Kosin told legislators that from an economic standpoint, the state has to be able to develop its own healthcare workforce, or those costs could go up even more.
To be direct, the situation for our pipeline and how we're developing Alaskans to go and take healthcare jobs is underperforming so severely that we really can only go up. We're so bad right now that we can only really improve.
He says there's a lot of homegrown interest in healthcare education, but there's a huge problem. The state's biggest nursing program has to turn away two applicants for each one they accept.
We get a lot more applications than what we have seats.
Carla Hagen directs the nursing program at University of Alaska Anchorage.
Just as there's a nursing shortage, there's also a nursing faculty shortage. So obviously, if we had more nursing faculty, we would be able to open the doors wider, so to speak.
She says academia doesn't typically pay as much as being a practicing nurse, which is another challenge. But nearly all of the school's graduates get their initial licenses in-state. Last month, most of the graduates from the university's Fairbanks program went directly to work in a local hospital.
Our mission is to try to provide that education and accessibility to nurses that will be staying in their own communities and, building really that pipeline to, meet the healthcare needs.
There's some forward movement. The state pledged $2.1 million to the university to support nursing faculty recruitment and retention. And another nursing program at Alaska University of the Pacific was just nationally accredited.
This is Cranberry. It's our largest home, but this is Huckleberry, the home that had previously been closed.
Back at Wildflower Court in Juneau, Kirk Elmore says he's glad he got some financial help to attract traveling staff so he could open up a few more beds at the nursing home. But he says those workers are likely temporary and staff is still stretched thin.
Well, one of the unfortunate side effects is that is people are working, having to work more hours overtime. A lot of people are still postponing vacations and times to get away because they're needed here to fulfill those vital roles.
We pass an occupational therapist in the hall. It's a challenge, she says, but there are a lot of big hearts in the building, and everyone's doing the best they can. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
A Carnival cruise bound for Seattle made headlines about 2 weeks ago. A passenger claimed there were about 200 people sick with COVID-19 on board and that the crew was overwhelmed. Carnival downplayed the situation, but wouldn't disclose the case count. That ship, the Carnival Spirit, is now cruising between Seattle and Southeast Alaska for the summer. If its crew are following protocol, there should be multiple governing agencies with good data about the COVID-19 situation on board any given day. But little of that information is available to the public for the Spirit or any of the ships operating in Alaska this summer. KTO reporter Jeremy Shea has been digging into the transparency gap between the public and cruise ships. So, Jeremy, what kind of COVID information are cruise ships sharing, and who are they sharing it with?
So all of the big cruise ship companies have agreed to regularly share information about COVID with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that's the CDC, the U.S. Coast Guard, and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Some of the guidelines I've seen show they're collecting, like, you know, lots of personal information that's protected, but also information that could be summarized as public health metrics that a lot of us have become familiar with during the pandemic, stuff like case rates, hospitalization figures, and deaths.
Okay, so say I worked in tourism. Could I look up how many cases are on a ship coming into town?
Yeah, not really. Even though these government agencies are collecting this information, they're only publishing a few pieces of it, and what is getting out there isn't very helpful. The CDC has a system for color coding every ship every day, and it goes from green to red. Green means there's no COVID on board. Red means a ship's onboard medical capacity is overwhelmed. The Carnival Spirit, for example, which was in June over the weekend, has been in the orange category. It could mean as few as 7 people are sick, or could be hundreds. Most ships in the CDC's program worldwide are in the orange category.
Earlier, you said the state is also getting COVID data from cruise ships. Are we seeing those numbers, like, on the state dashboard, or is there anywhere that we can look them up?
Yeah, it's pretty complicated. You know, you've got these ships that are moving through lots of different jurisdictions over a few days and lots of testing happening on board at different points in time and space. Sometimes a case comes up when the ship is at sea. That goes to the state, but it's not like there's a place on the website where you can go to see all the cases that are at sea. Or maybe someone tests positive in Skagway, but they're quarantined on the ship and not actually in Skagway anymore. Basically, the state health department says the COVID stats they publish are not a good tool for understanding cruise ship outbreaks or the kinds of impacts that they may or may not be having on the communities they visit. Here's Sue Schrader's takeaway. She's a longtime Juneau resident who's been concerned about cruise ships for lots of reasons, but lately because of COVID.
Wow. For those of us living in a community who you know, maybe want to avoid going into busy shops downtown when we've got a 4 or 5 cruise ship day, because of potential exposure, we don't have the information necessary to make those decisions.
Some cruise lines have been caught committing environmental crimes and lying about it in the past, so she's really skeptical about trusting the cruise lines with COVID.
So regular people don't really know what's going on the cruise ships. Are the authorities who do know raising any alarms or telling anyone anything?
Yeah, there's not much that gets out. You know, in Juneau, for example, city officials are keeping an eye on hospitalization rates, which haven't really been impacted. You know, and I should say the cruise industry maintains that it is following all of the appropriate health and safety procedures. They should be able to deal with outbreaks themselves without burdening local healthcare systems. And then the passengers and crew on cruise ships, they're vaccinated at rates higher than the populations of the communities they're visiting. So generally, it should be safer to interact with, you know, random people off a cruise ship than random people in your own community. The state's top health officials recently described the cruise lines as good stewards in protecting public health on board and in the communities they visit.
Well, thank you so much, Jeremy.
Yeah, sure.
That was reporter Jeremy Shea. As of Wednesday evening, the search continues for a 7-year-old Sawyer Sipola, who went missing near his home in a heavily wooded area of Kodiak Island on Saturday afternoon. Sipola is autistic, and researchers were told he responds to the name Brigadier or vocal howling. He also answers to the phrase, come on in. The Alaska State Troopers are in charge of the search for Sipola. A trooper's public information officer said members of local law enforcement, Kodiak Island Search and Rescue, Coast Guard Base Kodiak, and U.S. Navy SEALs have assisted in the search. K-9 teams from Anchorage and Matsu have been scouring the area also where Sipola disappeared. And nearly 1,000 volunteers have searched for the boy since he was reported missing, according to Alaska State Troopers. Sipola was last seen wearing gray pants, an Under Armour brand camouflage hoodie, and hiking boots when he disappeared. according to the Alaska State Troopers. Anyone who thinks they may have seen him should call the Alaska State Troopers in Kodiak. Their number is 907-486-4121. And this is the KTOO Newsroom.